Okay, we're going to read from Mark 4, which you'll find on page 1006, or it's on the screen behind me here. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Storms that come up suddenly are a real feature of Galilee. It's due to the configuration of the mountains around the lake. And it's not just boats that are in danger. Today, car parks on the western end of Galilee, Lake Galilee, have warning signs because of the massive waves that can crash over into the car park and completely engulf your car. And Jesus calming the storm is the sixth of seven miracles that Mark recounts at the beginning of his gospel. And what he's doing is explaining how Jesus reigns, how Jesus has power over different areas. So it's things like power over Satan, and today it's power over nature, power over the storm. Jesus' kingdom is being gradually revealed through Mark. And I want us to see three things through this passage. We're called to live in peace. We're called to invest in growth, and we're called to find safety in Jesus, safety in him. So first, we're called to live in peace. There's something very present about the ministry of Jesus. He takes each day as it comes, each day at a time. He teaches his disciples, doesn't he? Give us today our daily bread. Something very present about it. And there are enormous pressures on Jesus in his life. The crowds just pressing in all the time, everywhere he went. As you read through Mark, it's got a sort of breathless pace to it. Everywhere he went, there were crowds appearing. Every time he tried to withdraw, crowds appeared. The pressure was on. And then there was the opposition of the Pharisees and the rulers. There was the need to coach his disciples. He had just 3 short years with them. He needed them to learn and to grow. And there was the need, of course, to proclaim the gospel message. Jesus was a busy man. There was a lot of pressure upon him. Yet Jesus trusts his Father daily. He gets up early and spends time with his Father regularly in prayer. And we're to live in the present too. There is, of course, a right looking back to the past and putting the past right. Perhaps if you've hurt someone, then there is a right sort of sorting that out and seeking peace in that. And that if you've been hurt yourself, then there's a right way in which you look at the past and you allow people to come in and help you pray through that and find healing, and be so that you can draw a line under the past. And we're to learn from our mistakes, aren't we? That's definition of wisdom, really, isn't it? That we learn from what we've done wrong. So there's a right looking at the past, but we're not to allow the past to sort of push forward and dominate the present. And there's a place for the future as well, isn't there? There's a place for wise and prudent planning in our lives. And yet we're to trust God in the present. We're to hold the future on an open hand, because sometimes our planning gets redirected and changed. But as we know God in the present, that is okay. So God holds our past and he holds our future so that we can live properly for him in the present. There is a peace in that, of knowing that we live each day in the presence of God. That comes from trust. So today, maybe you've come with needs today. Actually, what you need to deal with today is knowing that you trust him, is opening your heart to him today, for today. Because actually, today's the only day that you can deal with, really. It's the only time you can make a difference. So reach out to him today. Well, in the story, a storm comes up. This is a massive, unexpected storm. You can tell that because fishermen were absolutely terrified by this storm. So clearly, this wasn't sort of normal practice. The boat was swamped. They were about to sink. This was very real, and they're panicking. And storms will come in our lives too. So my second heading is that we need to invest in growth. Because storms will come, we need to be ready. Are you ready for the storms? That's the next question. Now, I've learned from Monty Don, watching Gardener's World, that in the old days, when you planted saplings and trees, you used to hammer in a great big stake that went up to about here, about 4 foot above the ground. And then you would have a big strap that went to your little sapling and held it firm. And so when the wind came, it was the stake that took the pressure of the wind. And the sapling wouldn't move at all. But these days, according to Monty Don, the stake is only 18 inches high, really quite low on the tree, and you put a little strap round. And the reason why is because we've realised that the tree needs to sway in the wind, because as the sapling sways, it grows stronger. And so that's much more resilient. The stake is to hold the roots firm, because if you pull out the roots, then the poor thing can't grow anymore. So the stake enables the roots to go deep and to establish themselves. Now, if you imagine a massive oak tree, underneath the ground is as much stuff as there is above the ground. There's as much roots under the ground. We tend to forget that, don't we? There's enough roots under the ground as there is above the ground. They're sort of flatter and they spread out much further than the tree, but they're there. And we need to press in to God. We need to sink our roots deep so that when the storms come, we don't topple over. And also we need to develop strength of character above the ground as well, in our core, in our trunk. And that takes time. If you cut down a big tree and look at the cross sections of the trunk, you will of course see rings, won't you, across the tree. And it grows one ring per year. It takes time to become mature and to become strong. And you can see from the rings what the growing season was like in each of those years. So if there was a lot of rain and a lot of nutrients, then the tree will have grown quite a lot, so the ring will be quite large. But if it was a drought, then the ring will be tiny and very narrow. So are you in a good growing season at the moment? That's the question. Are you drawing deeply of God? Are you growing stronger, more mature? Will you be strong in the wind? And how deep are your roots in God? You know, it takes time and it takes commitment to grow strong. It's not always entertaining. It's not always exciting. In fact, often it's costly and sometimes it's dull. But you know, if you're here every Sunday, you will be sinking your roots deep into God. You'll be reading his word, hearing his word unpacked. You'll be serving faithfully. That causes us to grow deeper into God. You'll love and you'll learn. And then you'll grow rings that will strengthen your core and strengthen your trunk. And to grow strong, you might need to replant yourself in the garden, because you may have planted yourself, you know, in a sheltered corner near a big wall where the wind can't really get at you. But actually, we're not meant to be like that as Christians. We're meant to be planted out in the middle of the garden, where the wind can blow and where we sway and where we grow stronger in the process. We grow resilient when we serve in tough places. Monday to Saturday, we're sent out into the world to grow and to be stretched. And if we're too comfortable, we won't grow. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I mustn't do that. That's a risk. God wants us to take risks, and he will be faithful when we do. So we live in peace with God in the present each day. We invest in growth so that we're ready and so that we're resilient for the storms. But thirdly, we find our safety in him, in Jesus. Verse 39 says this. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You know, the disciples were terrified. I think actually they were more terrified of Jesus than they were of the waves. There's an awestruck moment. Why is that? What is it? Is it just that the wind dropped at that moment? If you read the passage carefully, I don't think it is that. Because when wind drops, the swell and the waves in a sea will keep going and crashing about for about half a day until gradually the swell subsides. The fishermen knew that. Jesus rebukes the wind and it drops. And then he says to the waves, "Be still, be quiet." And it says it was calm, completely calm. There must have been a really eerie moment as they sat in the boat on a sort of a mill pond in the calm, and the other boats were around them as well, and it had just stopped. And you know, as we find our safety in God, we need to know that God is God, that he is an awesome God, an amazing God, a powerful God, a creator God. He holds everything in his hands. You see, too often we think that we can be safe in our homemade little harbours, in the comforts that we sort of hedge round ourselves, just in case. Family, friends, money, health insurance, status, our work, whatever it is. Nothing wrong with those things, except when we rely on them. When the storms come, our homemade harbours are often engulfed. They're no use. We're far safer when we're in the boat with Jesus, when we're in the risky place, living out our lives for the kingdom. Because when we're in the boat with Jesus, we might be frightened, but he is with us, and God is God, and he will not let us go, and he will not let us sink. This week I was sitting with Tony Mundy at his hospital bed. And Tony is one of our older members. He's got Parkinson's disease. He's really, really quite ill. And we'd enjoyed looking through a vintage car magazine. I was looking to see which car I might get. No money, but never mind. And we'd really enjoyed that. It was a good time. And sometimes Tony's mind wanders a bit and he started looking for his bus pass and things like that. But at this moment, he was really lucid. It was a lucid moment. And he's very thin now. He was hunched, sitting on the side of the bed, a real frail, weak figure. But I asked him, "Tony, you know, is God with you in this? Where is God for you? Do you know him now?" And Tony's voice sort of strengthened, and he sort of sat up, and he and says, oh yes, Paul, I know him. In my weakness is his strength. And that's really true, you know. In our weakness is God's power and God's strength. And one day you may be in that place. Maybe you've been in that place in hospital yourself already in your life. And in extreme times, in those storm times, you know, some people know God close, like Tony did on Thursday. But you know, others don't. For others, it feels as though Jesus is asleep in the boat, that he's forgotten. The disciples said, you know, don't you care that the water's coming in and we're about to sink, when they woke Jesus up? I don't know why people's experience varies so much. I don't think it's to do with maturity, actually. It's just people are different. But you know, it is an act of faith that we believe in. It's not about feelings and whether we feel Jesus near. It is an act of faith that's grown through our lives as we grow strong and as we grow mature. Jesus said to the disciples, why were you afraid? Why were you worried in the storm? I was there. He was asleep, but he was there. And you know, we trust in faith, even when God seems far away. He is there for you. He is powerful. He will hold you. One day he will stand and calm the storm. It may be in this life, it may for some not be until they actually die and they hear him say, be still, be quiet. Where do we put our trust? We need to decide that now, not in the harbours that we make, but in the God who is God and who loves us and who holds us and who knows that we are precious to him. So we're called to live in peace each day, living in the present with God, trusting him for that day. The past, well, sometimes God sorts those things out. The future, yes, we do need to think about them, but they're not to dominate our lives. We trust this day he will hold the past and the future. And we invest in growth, in our roots and in growing our cores, so that we become more resilient. As we risk serving in the world, we become stronger, not weaker. And we find safety in Jesus, not in our own comfortable man-made harbours, but in the boat, on the sea, with the God of all the universe who is with us. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for your promises. Thank you for the promises of this passage, that whether we feel you close or not, you are in the boat with us. You do hold us. Maybe you've come today and you're just facing difficulties. Maybe with finance or relationships, or a work situation. Seems like the storm is crashing all around you. You wonder if you're going to sink. God is God. He is with you. He is with you now, in the present, in this place. He is faithful. He is almighty. He will not let you go. Lord, we pray that you'll just affirm your spirit now as we pray, that you'll just come. Safety, or looking for safety in things other than Jesus. Lord, we confess our homemade harbours. May we put our hope just And Lord, make us strong. Grow us deep into you. Deep roots, strong trunks, strong cores. Holy Spirit, fill us, renew us, strengthen us. Make us strong oaks in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.